in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Just lift up your hands. I know next Sunday is miracle healing and impartation service, but while I prepare for this meeting, the Lord said the miracles will start today. He said some people will start receiving their own miracle, tangible miracles from this service. Kaligo Barakatai, I want you to lift up your hands. The presence of God is mighty in this place. I want you to just worship Him. Acknowledge His majestic presence in our midst. He has come to do you good. He has come to perform His good word that He has spoken concerning your life. Just like He told Joseph, Jacob, He said, I will not leave you. I won't forsake you until I perform every single word I have spoken concerning you. Kilabako jeli maga brakatiska. In the name of Jesus. John chapter 7 verse 2. John chapter 7 verse 2. We've been on 14 days of glory and fire, which is prophetic feast of harvest in this year of supernatural harvest and daily encounter with the Lord of the harvest Himself. And it has been a glorious experience, and today happened to be the last day of the feast. You know, there is something about the last day. Jesus went to the Jewish feast. You know, we did a teaching on the feasts, those prophetic feasts, Jewish feasts of the Lord, seven of them. And one of them is a Feast of Tabernacles. You can get the message from our Telegram channel and other platforms. He said now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was at hand. And then Jesus did not go immediately. He later went eventually. Then look at verse 37. He said, in the last day. Somebody say the last day. You see, you need to understand something, that expectation is the model of manifestation. You never come to God's presence. You never come before the presence of the King, the monarch of the universe, without expectation. What you don't expect cannot manifest. Am I communicating? My question for you is, what are you expecting to receive in this last day of the feast? Have you defined it clearly? He said, in the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus stood and cried. It was a passionate plea. He stood and cried. He cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. Can you see that the standing invitation, the summoning of Jesus, was to any man that is thirsty? Not the one that is not thirsty. Because the one that is not thirsty is not ready for anything. He said, if any man thirsts, Let him come to me and drink. You see, spiritual hunger and thirst is spiritual currency. He said, everyone that tasted, come to the waters and drink. Come and buy. You see, you use that currency called spiritual hunger and thirst for spiritual transaction. Am I communicating? In the realm of the spirit, we don't buy things with naira and kobo, dollars, euros, pound. It's in this physical realm. We don't buy things with that kind of currency there. We use spiritual currencies to purchase things. Faith is spiritual currency. Spiritual hunger and thirst is spiritual currency. You use to buy things. You use for spiritual purchase. You use for spiritual transactions. Am I communicating? Now go back to John 7:37. It says, if any man thirst, let him what? Come unto me. And then drink. Then look at the next verse, verse 38. It says, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, that is faith. He that believe, you see, two currencies there for receiving. It started by saying, if any man test, spiritual test is spiritual currency. Then the next one is what? He that believeth on me, that's faith. Let your expectation be very high. You see, the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, the Bible said, when he saw Peter and John about to go in at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And this meeting began 3 p.m. And the Bible said, he looked at them, expecting to receive. Peter said, look on us. He says, the man gave them heed. He gave them attention, expecting to receive. That is faith. Am I communicating? He says, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That's the expectation of faith. An expectation is a model of manifestation. The harvest you don't expect cannot manifest. You can't reap the harvest that you don't expect. So let your expectation be high. Am I communicating? To receive every single prophetic package that has not dropped from day 1 to day 13. All the remaining one, the arrears, everything is dropping on you tonight. Amen. And your faith is a magnet. You see, faith is the receiving system in the kingdom. It's a crucible with which you receive from God. It is unto every man according to his faith. He says, he that believeth on me, John 7:38, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow what? Rivers of living water, gushing torrents, the rivers of the spirit, the rivers of the anointing, maligo bagadia, the rivers of blessings shall flow, rivers of living water, not dead water, living water. Am I communicating? And then verse 39, we're told that this is spake. That river there is symbolic of the spirit, the outpouring of the spirit. He spake of the spirit which they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But the good news is that Jesus has been glorified. He died, he was buried, he resurrected in glory, and the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1. So in our own era, the Holy Ghost has already been given. Am I communicating? So you should be drinking from that river already, and out of your belly that river of living water should be flowing to water the desert of the world. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Malego bagadia. I want you to pray this simple prayer. Say, Father, all the prophetic packages and portions that you design for me to receive in these 14 days of glory and fire, prophetic feast, that I have not yet received. Father, I receive all of them without fail. Tonight, lift up your voice. Kabarido Bakida, are you really praying? Malabako Jala Bagadia. Every single prophetic package, every single prophetic portion, you have earmarked for me to receive the miracles, the harvest, with my name tag on it. Let it drop into my lap tonight. Let my portion fall to me. Let the portion made for me. Lift up your hands and just worship Him. Bless the name of the Lord from the depth of your spirit. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Our hearts are open, our ears are open, the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. You have granted us a seeing eye, a hearing ear, an understanding heart. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. I told you, harvest time is rejoicing time. Nobody is ever truly sad during harvest. A farmer may be sorrowful through all the process of sowing and from plowing to sowing to weeding to fertilizing to every other stage of the work. He may be sweating and toiling, but once it is harvest time, once harvest has come, you see that same farmer rejoicing, because it's a time for him to be rewarded for all his sacrifices, all his labor. So if I catch you not happy, that means we'll take you back to 2022, or maybe Mungo Park period. Hallelujah. Harvest time is what? Celebration time, rejoicing time. Is a time of gladness, is a time of joy. Am I communicating? Can I see it on your face? Just look at your neighbor and just smile. Ask your neighbor, are you ready for your harvest? You see, God have appointed unto us, give me Jeremiah 5:24, appointed weeks of harvest. Listen, this year has 53 weeks. And do you know the good news? All the 53 weeks are appointed weeks of harvest. So, listen, a week begins on Sunday. So, as you wake up Sunday morning, you say, "Woo, Father, thank you. Another week of harvest." And then another week of harvest. Another week of harvest. All the 53 weeks, they are what? Weeks of harvest. Is a neighbor say they in their heart, "Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain." Are you surprised that rain is falling January? Rain fell yesterday, it fell today. That's to tell you this is not normal, co-normal. This is not a normal year. Am I communicating? The rain precedes the harvest. The rain is announcing to you that truly, truly, akika, akika, your harvest has come. It is harvest time, oh God. The rain is symbolic of showers of blessing. See, this year, God is in a hurry. Are you ready? Heaven is in a hurry. That's why we are seeing rain even in January. Heaven is in a hurry to release showers of blessings, harvest of blessings, harvest of testimonies, harvest of favor, harvest of good news. Neither say they in their heart, "Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain," both the former and the latter rain. So it's a combination. In his season, and we are in the season, he reserved unto us what? Appointed weeks of the harvest. Can you shout amen? Amen. Say with me in faith, Father, In the name of Jesus, I receive my weekly load of divine harvest every single week of the 53 week of 2022. Every single week of this 53 week of 2023 is appointed weeks of harvest for me. And I reap my harvest 24/7. Hallelujah. You might be seated. There is a short video media will play for us right now. I want you to listen attentively. The video is talking about what we just read in John 7, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacle that Jesus attended. And then, before he stood and said, on the last day, if any man thirst, let him come to me. I want you to listen carefully. Am I communicating? Because this Jewish feast, just like I thought, they are prophetic types and shadows of the real substance which is found in Christ. All of them, they point to Messiah, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They reveal the Christos. They reveal Christ in types and shadows. Are we ready? Okay, let's go.
It is prophesied when Christ comes again, we will gather at the wedding feast of the Lamb, celebrating the triumph of the Savior over all things. To be taught of this significant event and other teachings, Israel was given the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. Understanding this feast not only teaches us of the last days, leading up to the second coming, but also of the Savior's role as the light of the world, the living waters, and the King of Kings. In addition to daily, weekly, and monthly worship, Israel was commanded to participate in three major feasts: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. Occurring during fixed times at the spring, summer, and fall harvests, these feasts were meant to both remind Israel of past events and teach them of future events. Let's now look more closely at the third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, which Josephus called the most holy and most eminent of the feasts. On the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, ushering in a period of 10 days of penitence for the people to prepare for the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. As the holiest of days, it is the only day when the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, symbolically taking Israel into the presence of the Lord. Israel is now forgiven of their past sins and prepared for the holiest of the feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, which begins 5 days later. The feast's connection to the final harvest of the year foreshadows the final harvest of souls at the coming of the Messiah. According to the law, Israel was to build booths or temporary shelters to dwell in for 7 days, from the 15th through the 21st day. These booths, also known as Sukkot in Hebrew, were generally moderate in size with at least 3 walls and a roof made of branches. This likely was a fun time for children as the families ate and slept in their temporary tabernacle or sukkah, almost like camping in the backyard. The purpose of living in the booth was to remind the people that Israel dwelt in booths after the Lord brought them out of Egypt. It also could remind Israel that the Lord dwelt among his people in the tabernacle, which stood in the center of the camp of Israel. John taught of when the Savior came to earth that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Just as the Lord was with the people as they escaped bondage and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, so too is our Savior with us as we seek out shelter from our worldly cares and troubles. He will always dwell with us, if we let him, as we journey towards our own promised land. In addition, the Lord commanded the people to celebrate by taking the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and rejoice during the feast before the Lord. Despite it being during Passover when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem riding on a donkey, the people greeted him by waving palm branches. This was likely due to them understanding the connection of Jesus triumphantly entering Jerusalem and the coming of the Messiah during Sukkot. By waving palm leaves and shouting Hosanna to the Lord, they were obeying what was commanded in the law. During the Second Temple period, additional celebrations were added to Sukkot. Each morning during the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, a procession of priests came down from the temple to the Pool of Siloam, whose water came from the Gihon Spring, and was the principal supply of water for Jerusalem. With a golden pitcher, a priest drew water from the large pool. Because it came from a spring, the water was considered living water and used for ritual purification. The priest then took the pitcher of living water and returned to the temple. As they arrived at the court of the priests, they circled the altar once, and then the priest poured the water out onto the altar of sacrifice. They did this for each morning for the 6 days. On the seventh day, called the great day of the feast, the same ritual took place, except the priest circled the altar 7 times instead of only once. This ritual symbolized Israel's request that the Lord bless them with rain for the next harvest season. On this very day, when Israel was praying for rain, Jesus proclaimed, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." By Jesus proclaiming that he was the ultimate source for living water, he was giving a clear and direct declaration of his divinity. The day following the feast, Jesus found a blind man and spit on the ground, making a small amount of mud. He anointed the blind man's eyes and told him to wash in the Pool of Siloam, the exact same pool where the priest had drawn living water for 7 days. The blind man obeys and is healed. Eventually, he is able to see the one who gave him sight. Like the blind man, we too have the opportunity to see with our spiritual eyes and be purified with the living water, even Jesus Christ. On the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, in addition to the water drawing ceremony, the people gathered at the temple in the court of the women. Young Levi boys climbed up to 4 massive candelabras, lighting their large bowls filled with oil. This light was so bright that it is said that every courtyard in Jerusalem was lit. It is in this same area of the temple, just days later, that Christ proclaims, "I am the light of the world." Just as the light from the candelabras shone over the entire city, so too does the light of Christ shine throughout the world for all to see. In Scripture, the fall feasts were also connected with several significant events. This was when traditionally kings were often anointed with oil as king of Israel. Solomon's temple was also dedicated during the Feast of Sukkot, and the presence of the Lord came down to accept his temple. Significantly, it is during this season of Tabernacles that we look forward to the coming of Christ as the King of Kings, coming to his temples or places of worship. The prophet Zechariah declares that all nations will celebrate Sukkot when Christ returns, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is a wonderful time of joyous celebration, as we are now living in the last days, anxiously awaiting the joyful return of our Savior. We can see that this feast teaches us of the glorious celebration that awaits us. The scriptures teach that at the sounding of the trumpet at Christ's coming, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, that Jesus is the Lord? Are we willing to confess now, before the final harvest, that Jesus is our anointed King and Savior? Are we spiritually prepared to greet Him when He comes again to the Temple Mount as the light of the world? Every day we can drink of the living water of Christ as we study the Scriptures, pray to the Father, and serve others as God loves them. How magnificent will be the day when those from all nations gather together and feast with our Lord, even Jesus Christ.
Wow, can you rejoice, celebrate Jesus? How many of you enjoyed that? Praise God. As you can see, it points to Christ. Hallelujah. I started a very powerful teaching 2 Sundays ago, the protocol for reaping your supernatural harvest. I'll conclude today. And then we pray. Just to summarize what we looked at last week, the keys to reaping your supernatural harvest. The first one we looked at was you capture a clear vision of your desired harvest. We said you have to start by envisioning the harvest. You picture the harvest. It's talking of the picture of hope. It's talking of, you know, when we say vision, vision is a clear picture, a mental picture of a preferable future. You can also say vision is a prophetic revelation of God's plan and purpose for your life, or for a people, or for a family, or for a ministry, a country, a nation, a city, and your participatory role in it, okay? A picture of God's plan and purpose, God's will, and then your participatory role in it. Then the second key we looked at was a partnership of faith. It takes faith to fulfill vision. It's not enough to have a vision of the harvest you desire. You must also learn to partner with God in faith. Then we looked at the need for you to activate and function with the wisdom of God, which is the third key. Wisdom is indeed the principal thing. You need wisdom, the wisdom of a reaper, the wisdom of a harvester. For you to reap your harvest, wisdom is a necessity. Then we said you must be diligent. The key of diligence. Harvest time is plenty of work time. There is no place for laziness. You must put in the work. You work smart. Hallelujah. No harvest for a lazy man, we said. Then we said another key we looked at was giving. Sowing your seed. In fact, the journey to reaping a supernatural harvest begins here. You have to sow your seed. You are a living and working warehouse of seed. Everybody you see is a living and working warehouse of seed. Am I communicating? So you sow the particular kind of seed depending on the kind of harvest you envision that you are expecting. You know, the kind of harvest you desire determines the kind of seed you sow. Because we said there are different kinds of seed, right? How many of you remember that teaching series, The Requirement for a Good Harvest? Please listen to them. There are different kinds of seeds, okay? Depending on the kind of harvest you want. So, this is a very important one. I'm just summarizing. Then we looked at the key of kingdom advancement. You make the advancement of God's kingdom your topmost priority, your number one passion, your number one priority, your number one pursuit. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You see, you have to learn to prioritize kingdom business above all else. That Matthew 6:33, give me in NLT, I like the way you put it. So you engage actively and seriously in kingdom promotion and kingdom enlargement endeavors through your prayers and intercession. He said, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers. You partner with God. The Bible says we are laborers together with him in ushering in the mega harvest. You engage in kingdom advancement endeavors through soul winning. I said, this year, don't just set financial goals, business goals. Don't just set career goals. Also set, don't just set health goals, set kingdom business goals. You must have goals for advancing the kingdom. You must have soul winning goals. How many souls have you made up your mind to win to Christ this year? Set soul winning goals. Very important. It has to be intentional. Jesus said in Luke 2:49, he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? So every business requires seriousness. It requires urgency. Praise God. So you partner with God through all these avenues. Also through your finances, financial partnership, kingdom promotion givings, also kingdom service. They are all part of kingdom advancement endeavors. Your input in service. Be serious. Be committed. Don't be the reason why the work of God will suffer this year. As a worker, as a leader, put in your best into kingdom service. Do you know if you serve well, God will pay you? Yes, God will pay you. There are so many blessings associated with kingdom service. If you are just a member, floating member, and you've not yet joined a service unit, I counsel and advise you, prayerfully choose a service unit and join. Am I communicating? Don't just be a submarine Christian. Be actively involved in service in the house of God. Praise God. It's one of the keys to the harvest. Serve with all your heart and with all your mind, all your strength, with everything within you. Don't do eye service, do heart service. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. And when you please God, you will ultimately, eventually please men. Okay? So I take it from there. The next key to reaping your supernatural harvest is rejoicing. Rejoicing. Or you can put it this way. Joyful praise. Joyful praise. Give me Isaiah 9 verse 3. Give me in Amplified. Isaiah 9 verse 3 Amplified. He said, yes, O Lord. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation. Can you shout amen? Amen. We are in a season of supernatural increase. God have multiplied us, okay? He said, and you have increased their joy. Amplified. What's happening? Please, amplified. He says, you have increased their joy. They rejoice before you. Can you see that key of rejoicing? They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil of the battle. He's talking of the harvest. Can you shout amen? So, rejoicing is very important. Then, give me Isaiah 12 verse 3. He said, therefore with joy, shall ye draw water. Shall you draw your harvest? Shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? Can you shout amen? He said, therefore, with joy. In other words, without joy, you cannot draw your harvest. Joy is a sickle for the harvest. Joy is a sickle. Spiritually speaking, it's like a sickle, a harvest instrument, a harvest implement with which you what? Reap your harvest. So you don't reap your harvest with sorrow and sadness. You don't reap your harvest with discouragement, depression, looking downcast. No, no, no. That's why I say harvest time is rejoicing time. Be full of joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. There is a big difference between joy and happiness. While happiness depends on happenings, happiness is circumstantial. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on the external happenings. But guess what? Joy is not like that. Joy is, it doesn't depend on those happenings. Joy doesn't depend on the circumstances. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Remember the Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So there is joy inside you. If you are a Christian, stop looking for joy on the outside. Stop looking for joy based on what is happening or what is not happening. No. You have joy in your spirit. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. All you need to do is to let loose that river of joy. Am I communicating? Allow the river of joy flow out. You already have the fruit. Nurture it, cultivate it. Let it come alive. Let loose. A believer can be joyful even when on the outside things are going haywire. Even in the midst of adversity, you can be joyful. Because joy it doesn't depend on happenings. It's not circumstantial. It's an inside job. Am I communicating? And the word of God gives you joy. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in you my joy will remain." Am I communicating? That my joy may remain in you. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. He didn't say these things have I given you. He didn't say these dollars, this car have I given you, that you will be joyful. He said these things have I spoken to you. In other words, the word of God gives you joy. These things have I spoken to you. Not this amount have I given you, that you will have joy. Am I communicating? Joy doesn't depend on happenings. It's not circumstantial. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And if you are born again, if you are not born again, in this service you will get born again, because I will make altar call at the end. Every believer has joy on their inside. All you need to do is to unlock, undam that river of joy. Am I communicating? No matter what is going on the outside, you are full of joy. You can choose to be joyful. Joy is a choice. I will rejoice. We'll look at that scripture. Give me Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17. Habakkuk 3:17. Look at this. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. This is a farmer. You know, farming business was like those days in ancient Israel. Their economy was an agrarian economy. That they depend on agriculture. So most of them were farmers. It says, this man's business, everything is down, but he still choose to be joyful. Watch this. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat. In other words, on the outside, it looks as if no result, nothing is working in his business, in his finances. He said, the fish shall eat no meat, the flock shall cut off from the fold, and there shall be no head in the stall. Yet, hey, I say joy is a choice. Irrespective of the happening. The businessman said, irrespective of whatever is happening, no profit, nothing seems to be working in my business, in my finances. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because when you choose to rejoice, you unleash the power of God to turn around the situation. Am I communicating? The power for supernatural turnaround is unleash when you undam the river of joy from your inside. So being sad and depressed and complaining, grumbling about the problem will not solve it. But when you choose to rejoice, things change. Am I communicating? Yet I will rejoice. Look at the result of rejoicing. Verse 19. He said, the Lord God is my strength. And you know, there is a connection between joy and strength. Hey, give me Nehemiah 8:10. We'll come back here. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He said, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Celebration time, right? It's a feast, and this is a prophetic feast. It says, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. So generosity is important. It says, be a giver. Am I communicating? Be generous. It said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. It said, for this day is holy unto the Lord. It said, neither be ye sorry. Refuse to be sorry this year. Don't allow people to see. Don't even look pitiable. No matter what you are going through, no matter the challenges, don't look pitiable. Am I communicating? Don't call for pity party. You know, there are people that like to be pitied. They like it. Hey, yeah, sorry. 50 people have told you, in a day. And the problem has not changed. How has that helped you? Am I communicating? He said, do not be sorry. It doesn't matter what you are going through. Refuse to be pitiable. Instead of calling for pity party, call for praise party. Call for joyful praise party. Am I communicating? Call intimacy. Call us. We will come. Am I communicating? By the time we do praise party, just like Paul and Silas did praise party. You remember? Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang. And then, giddy. Jailbreak season what? You understand? That's how to turn around things. It's not by calling for pity party. Call for what? Prayer party and praise party. Call Pastor Mafeng for prayer party. Call, intimacy for praise party. By the time you combine the two, there will be giddy. The earthquaking power of God, the presence of God will descend. And let me see the door that will still be shut. Let me see the bondage, the prison house that will still hold you bound. Am I communicating? This is how to provoke supernatural turnaround. He said, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Help me. I want you to shout it three times. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Personalize it. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3, go. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, shout glory. Come on, rejoice. Apostle Paul was in maximum security Philippian Roman prison. It was a maximum security Roman prison, very terrible prison, worse than Kirikiri. You know Kirikiri? Kirikiri, who knows Lagos prison? Those Roman prison those days, they are worse than Kirikiri. Yet he wrote a letter to one of the church he planted in Philippi, and he told them, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4 verse 4. Can you imagine? Somebody is in prison, chained hands and foot like this, and yet he is telling the church in Philippi to what? Rejoice in the Lord. Always, not sometimes. You just lost something, you lost your phone, you lost money in business, you lost a loved one. Don't worry. Don't be sorry. Am I communicating? Choose to rejoice. I told you, rejoicing is a choice. It's a choice. And when you make that choice, it will release the power of God to provoke supernatural turnaround. And that ugly situation will become beautiful. Am I communicating? He didn't say rejoice in the loss. He said rejoice in the Lord. No matter what you have lost. He didn't say rejoice in the loss. Rejoice in who? The Lord. Because when you do, the Lord will release the power for supernatural restoration. And anytime God restores, He does not give you exactly what you lost. He multiplies it. You remember our sister, Minister Patience? You hear her testimony. God will give you far more than. He said, a thief is not despised when he is caught to satisfy his hunger. But if he be caught, he shall restore sevenfold. And Satan is a thief. Am I communicating? Shabala kataya. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. He told them to rejoice. Because that is exactly what he himself is doing. Even inside prison, Paul was rejoicing. Again, I say rejoice. It's not tautology. Double emphasis. Am I communicating? You know, we, in our day, when you are writing a letter or typing something, anything you want to emphasize, how do you do it? Any of the word, you put it in capital letter or you make it bold, right? But those days, in Bible days, that is not how they emphasize things. Anytime they want to emphasize something, they repeat it. So this double emphasis is to show you that this thing is very, very important. If you want to reap your harvest, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, anytime you lose joy, you lose strength. Anytime you give in to discouragement, you lose strength. That's why when you see people that are always mourning, always looking morose, always looking depressed, discouraged, downcast, they don't have energy. They lose energy. One of the signs of depression is loss of energy. Am I communicating? They lose strength and energy. Even their mental creativity, they can't even be creative. They lack inspiration. Even in their place of work, their boss will start complaining because their work will no longer be effective. If they were secretaries, they will start typing rubbish. Why? Because they are depressed. But Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my word. In this season, fight to maintain your joy, no matter what you are going through. Even if you are going through the shadow of death, you will not die. David said, though I walk through, he didn't say I stay there, just walk through. Tell your neighbor, walk through. And walk through with joy. Walk through the adversity, walk through the challenges with joy. He said, though you go through the waters, I will be with you. Though you walk, you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. The presence of God is the headquarters of joy. Remember, Psalm 16. He said, in thy presence, that will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You can't be depressed in God's presence. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Heaven, there is no sorrow in heaven, no pain in heaven. It's rejoicing, celebration, 24/7 praise and worship. How can you be depressed there? Am I communicating? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And guess what? You need strength to reap your harvest. You need strength and power to usher in your harvest. So that means when you rejoice and you undam the rivers of joy, it releases supernatural strength to reap the harvest. Am I communicating? Keloboko sagadaya. Eleko bakata. Joyful praise. Give me Psalm 89 verse 15. Psalm 89 verse 15. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of what? Thy countenance. The light of thy countenance. Countenance has to do with face. And this is talking about the glory of God. Am I communicating? His glorious presence. And we saw in Isaiah 60 that the glory of God, the manifest glory of God, is the magnet for the supernatural harvest. Is what magnetizes and pulls to you your supernatural harvest. That means when you release joyful sound, it connects you. You walk in God's glorious presence, and His presence pulls to you like a magnet your supernatural harvest. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, no place for gloominess, no place for depression or discouragement or despair. No place. Be anxious for nothing. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. All these worries about where will the money come for school fees. Okay, will your worry solve the problem? Worry will sap your energy. The more you worry, the more you lose energy. The energy you should have invested in creative thinking, you lose it when you worry. Instead of worrying, why don't you meditate on the word of God, on those scriptural solutions to your problem? Why don't you spend some time exercising yourself unto godliness by glossolalia-ing? Yes, now, the time you should waste worrying, why don't you sit down and blast in tongues? Is it not better? And then meditate. Chronic meditation, punctuate them with glossolalia, speak in tongues. Am I communicating? Worry is a waste of time, waste of energy, waste of life. Am I communicating? Worry, where will the money come for house rent? This one, that one. It doesn't help. Glory to God. Choose to be joyful. Joy is a sequel for reaping your harvest. Lack of joy can dry up your harvest. Give me Joel 1:12. Lack of joy can dry up your harvest. He said the vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, or even all the trees of the field. Even all the trees of the field. Can you see? Everything are withered, dried up. Because, look at the cause. Look at the diagnosis. Look at the diagnosis of the problem. He said all the trees have dried up. They have withered. Because joy is what? Withered away from the sons of men. You know, some people, the moment they don't have money, they will sit down. It's as if somebody died. They are not happy again. Their joy is gone. Some people, their joy is connected to their account balance. Once there is no money. In fact, I heard of somebody that she will even beg a friend, just send your money into my account. I won't spend it, I won't touch it. But just let me just be seeing that there is money in the account so that I will be happy. There are people like that. Am I communicating? Don't attach your joy to things. God will give you money. God will give you the car, the house, all those things you are praying for. He will give you. But do you know you are more important to God than the prayer point? Can a dead person drive car? Can a dead person live in a house? Am I communicating? You are more important to God than what you are even praying to Him for. To unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Glory to God. So don't attach your joy to things. Don't attach it to money, presence or absence of money. Whenever there is money, you are so happy. Some women are funny. They will give their husband 15 kisses, pecks. Oh, you are the best husband in the world. I'm so happy I married you. But when there is no money, we will put on long face. Even to serve the husband food is problem. So say, the husband, Danny, where is my food? In the kitchen. You understand? No. No, be so. Let your joy be independent of circumstance. He says the vine tree is dried up, the fig tree languished, pomegranate tree, palm tree also, the apple tree, all the trees of the field are gone, withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. I want you to lift up your hand. Say, Father, I receive grace to be joyful at all times. Nothing will tamper with my joy forever. Give me Psalm 67 verse 5. Psalm 67 verse 5. Joyful praise. He said, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Next verse. He said, then, somebody say then, shall the earth yield an increase. He's talking of the harvest. Provoked by the power of praise. Then shall the earth yield an increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Give me 2 Chronicles 20:23. In that battle, three kings ganged up against the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and they called for a corporate fast, to seek the face of God concerning the battle. And then God gave them a strategy for victory. He said the strategy is praise. He said they should set forth singers. And the Bible says, give me from verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. 23. And when they began to what? To sing and to praise, the Lord set what? Ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. 24. And they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. You see, confusion broke out in the camp of the enemy. They started killing themselves. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Can you imagine? Verse 24. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude. Behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil. Somebody say the spoil. It's talking of the harvest, the spoil of war. And they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they strip off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. We are in the season of gathering the spoil. Gathering the harvest. In gathering is a season of in gathering. Maleko bagadia. He said 3 days. It was so much. Somebody say abundance. Somebody say more than enough. More than enough harvest. It took them 3 days to gather it. But what was the strategy that brought the victory? Somebody say praise. The more you praise God, the more God credits your account. Joyful praise. The next key to reaping your supernatural harvest is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. In brackets, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with God, in bracket, communion with the Holy Spirit. Give me 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? Is it Jesus brought grace? Jesus is the grace of God personified. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Jesus brought in the era of grace. In fact, he himself is grace personified. Then he says, and the love of God. Notice grace was associated with Jesus. The love was associated with the Father. There's what we call fatherly love. And remember, love is the mother of grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. And Jesus brought grace. Why did God give us his grace? Is because he loved us. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So it was the love of the Father that gave birth to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said the key to enjoying number one and number two is what? The communion of the Holy Spirit. You want to enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus? You want to enjoy the love of the Father? You know, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The more you fellowship with God through his Spirit, the more he shed the love of the Father in your heart. Am I communicating? The love of God. The key to enjoying both the grace and the love listed earlier is what? Communion of the Holy Ghost. Give me an amplified. And that what we say communion is a Greek word koinonia. It means fellowship. It means partnership, sharing together, participation, distribution, friendship, comradeship. They are all synonyms of that word, koinonia. It means transportation. Amplified version say the grace, favor, spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence and fellowship. The communion and sharing together, participation in the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Then give me John 15, verse 4 and 8. John 15, verse 4 and 8. We'll read to 8. He said, abide in me. This is Jesus speaking. He said, abide. The Greek word is meno. It means to remain. It's a posture of fellowship, communion. Remain, stay, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, the fruit there is talking of your harvest, result, cannot bear fruit of itself except it. Can you see that your harvest or fruitfulness or result is connected to what? Your fellowship with God. Communion with God is a secret. He said you cannot bear fruit of yourself. He said the branch, and you are that branch, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. See, never be too busy for God. Never be too busy to pray and fellowship with God. Because the life wire of your entire Christianity, every other area of your life, the success or failure depends on your fellowship with God through his Spirit. Prioritize fellowship with God above all else. From when you wake up to when you go to bed, every single day. Never be too busy to fellowship with God. Next verse. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There are different levels of fruitfulness. There are different levels of harvest. If you want the much more level, then he said the secret is fellowship, continuous fellowship. For without me, ye can do not. You can't reap your harvest without God. Next verse. So if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, they are burned. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The Greek word done is ginomai. It means it shall be produced or manufactured for you, even if it does not exist. Am I communicating? Next verse. It says, herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit. Much harvest. So shall ye be my disciples. You know, there are some level of result that you don't need to preach again. It's evangelism by result. People will see your life and see the kind of result that is producing. They will follow you to AGMI without you inviting. I'm telling you, they will follow you. The same God you are serving that has changed your life like this, your life becomes attractive. Your life becomes attractive to them. From your character that is Christ-like to your the blessing of the Lord all over your life, showers of blessing. You are so blessed that unbelievers and sinners begin to envy you and admire you. Then they will now grab your skirt, hold your trousers, say, "We are following you, to that place where they go. Show us." Even those that have been patronizing native doctor say, "No, this is your own result. It's not normal. We've been going to native doctor, but we are not getting this kind of result. Let's follow you to serve your God." Am I communicating? May your life begin to advertise Jesus to others by reason of the avalanche of testimonies and the supernatural harvest coming your way. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified." God is not glorified when your life is barren of result. You know, in fact, it has a negative effect on bringing people to Christ. Praise God. So, if you are writing right, God is the Lord of the harvest. And the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, by inference, you can say the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. You must learn to recognize the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. You must learn to acknowledge and recognize the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, a real person. He is not a force. He produces a force, but he himself is a person. The Holy Spirit is not fire. Even though he has fire, he can produce fire, but he is a person. And fire is also a manifestation of his presence. The Holy Spirit is not wind. He can produce a wind. He can make a wind to blow, even while wind, but he himself is a person. The Holy Spirit is not power. He is not anointing. He is the source of the anointing. He is the source of all of God's power, but he himself is a person. Am I communicating? This simple truth I'm explaining is what Catherine Kuhlman discovered, and that was a game changer for her in ministry. She realized that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. He's the one that gives you ability to speak in tongues, but he himself is a person. Many Christians don't relate with the Holy Spirit as a person. In fact, many Christians, the prayer warriors, self, many of them, they've not come to realize that the Holy Spirit is a person. They've not learned how to fellowship with him as a person, a real person. He speaks, he talks, he can teach. Can a teen teach you? He's a person. He said he shall teach you all things. He shall guide you. He will show you things to come. He can teach. He can speak. He's a person. You must learn to recognize him. Now look. He is a spirit. He's a spiritual personality. You can't see him with your optical eyes. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body of his own. Of all the members of the Godhead, only Jesus has a body, because he came to the earth and he was given birth. He got his body from Virgin Mother Mary, right? Only him has a body. For that reason, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body of his own. When Jesus was on earth, the Holy Spirit dwelt inside Jesus's body. Am I communicating? Jesus called him my Father. He said, my Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He performs the miracle. Can you see that the Holy Spirit was the secret behind the miracle ministry of Jesus? It was a secret behind the success of Jesus' ministry. You can't truly fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life without the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Because he supplies you the grace, he gives you the wisdom, he gives you the ability, he gives you the strength, the empowerment, everything. Even the gospel, they couldn't even preach. Jesus did not tell them to start preaching the gospel until they are clothed with power from on high. He knew they needed the Holy Spirit, or else it will be a failure, it will be a fiasco. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit is very real, even though it's an unseen personality, it's a spirit. You don't see spirit with your optical eyes. We can have manifestations of his presence, but he himself is a person. He's very real. I told you about Benihim's story. When Benihim was fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, having a great time, and they came and called him, Benihim, it's dinner time. He wants to go and join his family. He was about to go. The Holy Spirit held his hand. He said, 5 more minutes. In other words, I'm enjoying your company, your presence. I'm enjoying fellowshipping with you. He said he felt the hand, but he did not see anybody. The Holy Spirit is real. Am I communicating? Very real. And he's a powerhouse of God. Is the secret of the anointing. See, you want to walk in the anointing, learn to recognize him as a person. And learn to relate with him as a person. Learn to submit to his lordship. Learn to obey his voice. Learn to follow his leadings. Learn to follow his instructions. Learn to follow his direction. Allow him guide you. Don't think you are too smart. Don't do ITK. You know ITK? I too know. How can you do ITK for Holy Spirit? Which day they born you? You think you know more than him? Am I communicating? Was it not the one that went in a pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night, to guide and lead the children of Israel through that great and terrible wilderness? And yet, they were passing through wilderness. There is no water, there is no rain. Yet they never lacked, they never tasted. They needed water, he brought water for them out of the rock. They needed the food, manna came from heaven. You see, the Holy Ghost, he was their provider. He went in a pillar of cloud by day. You know, desert temperature is very, very hot during the day. So he became a pillar of cloud to give them, to cool them like AC. They are under that cloud, so they are not feeling the heat. When you follow the Holy Ghost, you will not feel the heat of this world. You will not feel the heat of economic recession. And then in the night, because they have extremes of temperature, during the day it's very hot in the wilderness, during the night it's very cold. And now that same Holy Ghost then transform into a pillar of fire to give them warmth. Fire. He is everything you need him to be. He is your comforter. He is your helper. He is your strengthener. Give me John 14 verse 16. John 14 verse 16. You see, you must learn to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You see, you learn to follow his leadership. Allow him to lead you, to guide you. follow his leadership, his guidance, his direction. Submit to his lordship in obedience. Be completely surrendered to him. Surrender your life, everything to the Holy Spirit. Let him have the right of way. Praise God. Be fully yielded. Be fully yielded. When he speaks to you, obey. Don't quench the spirit. Don't quench. Do you know that as a believer you can quench the Holy Spirit? Yes, I'll show you. Is there in 1 Thessalonians 5? You can quench the Holy Spirit. That was why Apostle Paul wrote to them. He said, do not quench the Spirit. Learn to yield to him in obedience. Do what he tells you. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. He knows better than you. He knows that business more than you. He knows about investment more than you. You think he doesn't know all those your costs that you say is difficult? He knows it even more than the lecturer that taught you, more than your professor. The Holy Spirit knows it better than your prof. How many Christians not truly invite the Holy Spirit to teach them difficult subjects? Very few. You know why? Because they don't truly believe that he can teach them. They think it's only Bible he can teach them. They think it's only Bible he knows. He said he shall teach you all things. He didn't say only spiritual things. Was he not the creator of the world? Am I communicating? He used the word of God to create the world. The Holy Ghost can teach you physics, biology. He can teach you engineering. He can teach you medicine. He can teach you everything. I heard the story of this the guy that founded this Hyundai cars. Who knows about cars? This car company called Hyundai. One of these Asian countries. The guy is a believer, spirit-filled believer. He was into construction business before he went into car manufacturing. He was into construction, and then his breakthrough came. How he broke into wealth was when they gave him a contract in a desert. I don't know whether it's Dubai, one of these desert climates. And then the Holy Ghost revealed to him, showed him by revelation, that the sand there, when it's mixed with water, will become concrete like cement. This kind of, they don't need to add any extra thing. That's the desert sand. All you need to do is to add water. It solidifies like cement. And that was it too. He applied that wisdom. Before you know, the guy entered money. What you need is a divine idea. See, one idea from the Holy Ghost can make you a millionaire this year, a multi-billionaire. I'm telling you. One, learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. He will show you things that you never knew. Things to come. So, that the guy became wealthy. He became a billionaire. Then he later switched to car business and was applying the same principle of hearing from God and applying it. Am I communicating? I didn't say Honda, or I say Hyundai. How do you pronounce it? Hyundai. You know that company? You can go and research about the founder. Solid believer. He said, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Give me an amplified. And that the Holy Ghost is that comforter. Praise God. Now we ask the Father, he will give you another comforter. So look at the ministry he accomplishes in us. Number one is our comforter. For you to live a comfortable life. Not only to comfort you after you have lost somebody. You know, that is how many people think. They think, Holy Ghost, my comforter. It's only when you have lost maybe a loved one or you lost something, he will now comfort you. Sorry, oh, my brother. Sorry, oh, hey, don't worry. I will help you next time. That's not what he's saying. When he say comforter, he means He has been sent to make your life comfortable. For you to live a comfortable life, pressure-free life, struggle-free life, not sweating, toiling, laboring like elephant, getting results like ant. No, a life of ease. He said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He's our counselor. He gives the best of advice. He's the wonderful counselor. You cannot fail when you listen to his advice. He is our helper. So you cannot run out of strength. All you need to do, be humble enough to ask him to help you. Am I communicating? He is our ever-present help in time of need. He is your indwelling helper. See, the day you receive, from the day you receive the Holy Ghost, never you say, "I don't have a helper" again. You never lack help. He's your helper. He's the one that moves human destiny helpers to rally around you. Am I communicating? He's your intercessor. Oh, he says, "We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, he comes to our aid. He bears us up. He props us up in our limitations, our weaknesses, so that we can pray in line with God's perfect will. Because he that searches the mind knows what is the mind of the Spirit." Am I communicating? He's your intercessor. When you say the Holy Ghost is your intercessor, it doesn't mean that, somebody said, "I don't need to pray again," when he saw this verse. He said, why? He said, because the Bible said the Holy Ghost is praying for me. No, that's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying that he partners with you in prayer. When you begin to pray, that is when he comes and partner. If you don't pray, he will not partner with you. It's when you are doing the praying, he comes to your aid. He bears you up. He helps you overcome all these human limitations and weaknesses. He strengthens you. Am I communicating? He's a limit breaker. Is your advocate, counsel for the defense. Is your strengthener. Oh, is your inner strengthener. Aya, you never run out of strength. Kaliboko shata. See, have you heard believers say, "I am weak, I am weak, I'm feeling tired and weak"? Now, that's the testimony of your body. Meanwhile, in your spirit, your strengthener is there. All you need to do is to unlock the strength. Just spend some time praying in tongues. Am I communicating? You unleash the strength of the Spirit. No wonder Apostle Paul said, "When I feel weak, then am I strong." Because he understood that there is a resident strengthener called the Holy Ghost inside him. He's our standby. Just like standby Jen. Can you shout amen? Amen. So the Holy Ghost is real. Very real. There are three ways we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you are writing, right? Number one way we fellowship with him is through prayers. Prayers, intercession. Prayers and intercession. Acts 6 verse 4. The apostle said, "But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Jeremiah 33:3. He said, "Call upon me, I will answer you." So we have a now guaranteed answer to prayer. Call upon me in prayer. I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. He said, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So you learn to put all of your heart into your prayer. That's the first way we fellowship with God, with the Holy Spirit. Then the second way is through worship. Worship and praise. Worship. Acts 13 verse 2. Worship, praise. Acts 13:2. It says, during that ministers' conference at Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Give me this in Amplified. That word ministered to the Lord. Let's see what it means. While they were worshiping the Lord. So in other words, one major way we minister to the Lord is through worship. Some of you don't know how powerful worship is. They are worshiping God. Some people are on their phone chatting. It shows that you don't know God. You don't even have respect for His presence. You learn to reference His presence. Am I communicating? Is this on people during service? That's when wandering spirit, they will move here, move there. They can't stay one place. Restlessness. Am I communicating? See, when you know who God is, see, if Governor Lalong or even Nigerian president is here or US president, there are many things people do in church that they will not do. But they do those things because they don't have reference, honor, respect for the presence of the Holy Ghost. When you know that He is a person, I'm telling you, it will change your behavior when you come before Him. They are worshiping God. Your hand is in your pocket. You are forming chairman. Well done, chairman. It shows that you don't know Him. That is like disrespect. You learn to reference and honor His presence. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, you see, did you notice that before the Lord spoke to them, before the Holy Ghost ministered to them, they first ministered to Him? You know, most of the time when we come before God, we want Him to minister to us, right? We want Him to speak to you, to give you wisdom, to give you direction and all of that. But you don't know that you too have a responsibility first to minister to Him. And one major way you do that is by worshiping, so that He can respond by ministering to you, talking to you. Am I communicating? Enter into His presence with what? With singing. And His courts with what? Praise. There is a protocol for assessing His manifest presence. God inhabits the praises of His people. So you fellowship with Him through worship, through praise. Are you learning something? Then the third way you fellowship with God is through the ministry of the word, through studying and meditating on God's word. Acts 6 verse 4 again. But we'll give ourselves to what? To prayer. We'll give ourselves continually, not occasionally, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You spend time meditating on God's word. There are times I'm not praying, no. I'm just meditating on the word of God, and I'll just be feeling the presence of God, a tangible presence and power, the anointing. I'm telling you, it's one of the ways we fellowship with God. Many believers don't know that. Meditation. Give me Psalm 39 verse 3. I think it's Psalm 39 verse 3. Psalm 39. You learn to meditate on the word. Look at what the psalmist said. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. One of the stages of meditation is musing. Am I communicating? Where you muse on the word like a ruminant animal. You ruminate on the word of God. You roll it in your mind. You ponder deeply. Then you muse on the word. And then you mutter it before you start roaring and shouting it. My pastor said last week Sunday, the shoutings of faith. Am I communicating? He said, while I was musing, as you muse on the word, the fire burned. Then speak I with my tongue. Fire. And those kind of words are fire words. Your heart burned. You remember what the two disciples, Cleopas and his colleague, on the way to Emmaus, and then later when Jesus vanished after they supped together and Jesus revealed Himself, He vanished. Then look at what they said. Did not our heart burn within us while He spake with us? Jesus was speaking fiery words. He said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Am I communicating? You learn to meditate. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. See, if you ever study and meditate on God's word together with the Holy Spirit teaching you, revealing things to you and all of that, I'm telling you, this Bible is never boring. It will not be a closed book. Do you know why many Christians don't read the Bible? In fact, the Bible is boring to them because it is dry. There is no ministry of the Holy Spirit involved. So all they see is the letter. And the Bible says the letter killeth. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the Holy Ghost is that Spirit. When you read the Bible in partnership with the help of the Holy Ghost, it will show you revelation. It's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It will give you insight into mysteries and secrets. It will flood the heart of your understanding. I know many people do all night to pray. When last did you do all night to study and meditate on the word? There was a time some years back, I was studying the Bible and meditating for more than 8 hours. And even after the 8 hours, I didn't want to drop it. The thing just they sweet my belly. You want to drop it, you will see another light. And the Bible says the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. It's sweet. For some people, now novel, they sweet them like that. They were excited when they were reading novels. Excited reading every other book. The moment they carry Bible, it's as if they gave them diazepam. They will start sleeping. I curse that devil. Anything that is making you sleep anytime you read Bible, I curse it in the name of Jesus. They enjoy everything else minus God's word. Movies, give them, they will watch season 1, season 2, season 3. They can spend hours upon hours watching movies, TV shows, this one, football, Premier League, Champions League, La Liga, which one again? But the moment it comes to God's word, they'll say the thing no sweet. That thing that is making it not to be sweet, I break the head of that thing. Amen. Am I communicating? From today, the Bible will become sweet to you. Amen. You will read it and meditate and not feel like dropping it. Let God open your eyes. The psalmist say, open down my eyes. Learn to pray before you read the word. Learn to pray. Look, give me 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Then verse 15. Okay. Give me verse 13. Verse 13 first. It said, till I come, give attendance to what? Reading. To exhortation and to doctrine. Then verse 15. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That your supernatural harvest may appear to all. Give me in NLT. NLT. Are you getting blessed? Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task. Higher. Throw yourself into the task of study and meditation on the word. He says, study the same Timothy, 2 Timothy. He said, okay, let's finish this. He said, throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Many Christians are not making progress because they have neglected the word. And Proverbs 13:13, whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed. How can you make profit? How can you prosper without the word? Give it first place. My son, attend to my word. Incline your ears to my say. There are people that don't value God's word. They would rather sit at home and watch football match and play Bet Nanja than to come here and receive God's word that will change their life and help them make progress. Praise God. Some would rather go for village people meeting. Their association. My village people, they do meeting too, but it's just that it clashes with AGMI meeting. My father don't talk to me tired. I say I know if you leave this one at 10 village people. See, there's something I will get here that they will later need. Don't worry. When your prophet starts showing, they will come and visit. It's our son, our illustrious son. Even though you've never attended village meeting, don't worry, your success. I'm not saying don't associate with your people. I'm only saying learn priorities. I can only do that as long as it does not clash with this one. If it clashes with this one, by default, I forgo everything else. I'm coming for this one. Am I communicating? Don't be like Esau. Esau has no value for spiritual things. Don't sell your vote to. After collecting your PVC, if you never collect, go collect. Don't sell your vote for a morsel of bread. I know this is a period that Ghana must go. We start flying everywhere. Is the same old trick now? Is the same old trick? They'll give you tippings out of the money, your money, public fund that they stole. They'll now remove tippings and come and give you the voters, just money. Cost money, because it's a stolen money. The Bible said the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. Even if it's a billionaire, the person is cursed. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. So that people will vote them. If you are really credible, do you need to bribe? Is that not how many of them bribed their way? You know them now. They bribed their way to win primaries. If you are really credible, will you be bribing people with dollars, delegates? In fact, there is one that his own is worse. He didn't just buy delegates. He bought the candidate contesting against him so that they will step down for him. Thousands of dollars. Very yeyesious operation. And it's the same people, some foolish Nigerians. Hi, who has bewitched you? You are campaigning for them, clamoring for them to be your president. Who will cut your own country. Let them go and govern you. I like that pastor. There is one pastor in Lagos. I saw the video. I laughed tired. He said, those of you that want to vote, he said, I have a prayer for you. He said, may your children become like the person you want to vote for. And nobody was, the amen level was almost not there. They were not answering. It's true now. That person you say you want to vote for, may your children become like him. Answer now. What madness, if not selfishness, greed, wickedness, in a country where there is sanity. Some people are not even fit to contest election. Some should be serving jail terms. They should be in kirikiri, not coming out because of the money, the thievery. Permit me to use that English. The level of thievery. They should be rotting in jail, not coming out to be president. For what? To come and steal more money. Oh boy, vote wisely. I beg, vote wisely. Call your village people. Many of these are people in rural. They don't know their own is party they are voting. If not, if APC this, by the time they say this dispensation bad, next one, let's switch to PDP. So they will know only APC and PDP. I beg, help me educate them. Don't vote parties. Vote candidate. Credible candidate. Candidate with integrity. We want a new Nigeria. We are tired. Look at fuel price now. There are people that were supposed to come, but because no fuel money, they don't have money for transport, they couldn't come for this meeting. Is that the kind of country you want? I speak sometimes with some people that claim they are supporting X, Y, and Z. I look at them, I say, come. I said, do you really love this country? No, it surprises me. Why will you put your own self? How much did they give you? Tell me the truth. How much have they paid you that you want to sell the future of Nigeria, including your children? Even if you are not married, you will marry. Everybody cannot japa. If all of us japa, who will stay in Nigeria? Even the country you are japaring to, if they behave this way, will they be at that level? Am I communicating? Nigeria is not poor. It's the people that are poor. Nigeria is very... Do you know Nigeria is richer than UK? This UK that people are clamoring and japaring to, Nigeria is richer than UK. It's just that they have a good government, leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Set up structure and all of that, a system that work. Am I communicating? Why don't we do the same thing in Nigeria? We have to start from somewhere. You know, someone say, I forget the country, don't spoil Nigeria, let's just chop our own, chop by chop. May God punish that philosophy. We have to start from somewhere. Is this a Nigeria need kai? How do I put it? Spiritual rehabilitation. Political rehabilitation. In fact, resuscitation. We need a president that will give CPR. Nigeria is like a dying, drowning man. He needs CPR. You want to vote for somebody that is not mentally sound. Level of sanity is questionable. PDABC. It shows you that you too, for supporting you, you too, you need psychiatric evaluation. I'm telling you, you are not well. You want to carry a country that is sick and give it to a sick president. What will you get? Am I communicating? Shine your eyes, oh. Vote well. Call your parents in the village. Tell them who to vote. First of all, when you call, ask them that who are you going to vote. When they tell you somebody that doesn't make sense, start educating them, enlighten them. Let them know it's not only APC and PDP, there are other parties too. And they are credible, they should vote credible candidate. Send them the logo, snap it, send them. Vote human being, not umbrella, not broom, real human being. Am I communicating? Sela, this is not my message, oh. It's just that I'm angry. We've been praying for new Nigeria. Nigeria is at the brink of a change. Please get involved. I feel like traveling to my village to do some campaign. Honestly, this country must change. Glory. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a will of his own. Am I communicating? He has a mind of his own. Give me 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. He said, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, for we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And then give me Romans 8 verse 26. Hallelujah. He's a very real person. It says, know ye Romans 8:26. It says, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look at 27. It says, for he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is what? The mind of the Spirit. So that's why we say he's a person. He has a mind of his own. Am I communicating? He has a mind of his own. Then give me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Jump to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Am I communicating? He has a will of his own. And then the second one we will see here. To another faith by the same Spirit. It's talking of the gifts of the Spirit. To another gift of healing by the same Spirit. Jump to 11. Verse 11. It says, but all these worketh one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he. Who is the he in that context? The Holy Spirit, as he will. So the Holy Spirit has a will of his own. He chooses, he makes decisions, he makes choices. He has a mind of his own. So he's a very intelligent spirit. He reasons, he thinks. Am I communicating? He's the most intelligent being. So when he speaks, listen to him. The Holy Spirit has emotion. We're told, grieve not the Spirit. Is it Ephesians 4? Grieve not what? He has emotion. He can be vexed. He can be saddened. Some of you, your actions make the Holy Spirit sad. Some of you, you grieve the Spirit by your words. Corrupt communication. You just talk anyhow. Talk anyhow. You understand? Hi. Some people are not born again in their speech. Honestly, the way some Christians talk, you just wonder. Do you know, filthy and corrupt communication can grieve the Holy Spirit. It can make him vex. You can vex him by what you are saying. You can make him sad. For some Christians, it's their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is not glorifying God at all. Their character, their behavior is just grieving the Spirit. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherever he has sealed. Why? Because he has emotion. He can be happy. He can be sad. The Bible talks about the joy of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? Give me this in Amplified. Give me in Amplified. Shabalakataya. He said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him. Can you see that? Because he has emotion. For whom ye are sealed. So, watch it. We just saw that he has a mind of his own. The mind of the Spirit. He has his own will. He makes choices and decisions. Then he has emotion. He can be grieved, saddened, vexed. That's to show you. Then the Bible talks about the joy of the Holy Ghost. That's to show you that he is a person. He has a soul. Give me Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. Hebrews 10:38. He said, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul. Who is talking? God. God is speaking here. He said, my soul. And who is God? God is a spirit. John 4:23-24. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. And God, who is a spirit, is saying that my soul. Can you see that? So he's a spiritual personality. He has a soul. And the soul has three components: the will, the mind, that's the intellect, the emotion. So you see that the Holy Spirit is a person. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Am I communicating? But thank God we are not of them that draw back. The next verse says we are not of them that draw back. Or of them that what? Glory to God. Then the last key, and then we'll pray. Key to reaping your supernatural harvest. Through the ministry of a prophet or sent one. The ministry of a prophet sent to you. Not everyone is sent to you. You must be discerning enough to know those ones that are sent to you. The ministry of a prophet sent to you. You need to understand that prophets are carriers of divine rewards. And the anointing upon the anointed can provoke your supernatural harvest. can trigger the release of your harvest. Matthew 10:41. Jesus said, "He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." So prophets are carriers of divine reward. They are carriers of divine reward. You learn to honor that unique grace and anointing upon that anointed prophet sent to you. Am I communicating? In 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, "Believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper." You will push forward. The Hebrew word is salach. You will make progress. You will succeed. You will come mightily. You will go over. Am I communicating? Luke 4:25. Kelabakataya. Prophets are carriers of divine reward. They give you prophetic helping hands. You remember that scripture, Ezra 5:2. It said the elders of the Jews builded, and the prophets were with them, helping them. Prophetic helping hands. Am I communicating? To help you reap your supernatural harvest. Then 6:14, Ezra 6:14, you see it again. He said they were there lending them helping hands. It says the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. See, prophets are agents of prosperity. Prophets are for your profiting. When you learn to receive and believe them, you receive them and believe their words. I'm telling you, their ministry will profit you. You gain profits and you reap your supernatural harvest. Give me that Luke 4:25. Luke 4:25. We'll read to 27. Jesus said, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years, 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land." He said, "But unto none of them was Elijah sent." Did you notice that word? Elijah was actually sent by God. You remember, he was being fed supernaturally by the raven that was bringing bread and flesh in the morning. God commanded the raven. He said, "Go hide yourself by the brook called Cherith, for there I have commanded the raven to feed you, to sustain you." So the raven was bringing breakfast and dinner for many days. And then he will eat and then drink from the brook. God was sustaining him. But when God needed to help the widow so that she will not die, God allowed the brook to dry. And then God then said, another instruction, "Go, arise, go to the widow at Zarephath. I've commanded her to sustain you." So God actually sent him there. He says, "There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. To none of them was Elijah sent, except the widow of Zarephath, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was in widow." So, did you notice that if the widow had rejected the prophet God sent to her, I'm telling you, she would have died, because she was about to eat her last meal. Am I communicating? God sent her help through the anointed. So that's why I say you must be discerning enough to know those God have sent to help you reap your harvest. Receive them with the right attitude. I'll also show you the right attitude, how to receive them, so that their ministry will profit you. Believe their words. Obey their instructions. Next verse. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." You see, God sent prophet Elisha his way to heal him of his what? Leprosy. He was a great man. He was very influential, wealthy, had military might and all of that. But he was a leper. He had a need. He took the office, the ministry of a prophet to bail him out. Am I communicating? There's what we call prophetic bailout. There are some problems you are in that I'm telling you, what will bail you out is the word of a prophet. Kai, Kaligo Barakataya. Give me 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me show you something. There was a great, terrible famine, untold economic hardship, a period of hardship in Israel, because Ben-Hadad had surrounded and besieged Samaria. And now, 24, 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. So they surrounded the city and cut off every form of communication and supply. And there was a great famine as a result in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head, the head of a donkey that had little or no value in those days. But this time around, because of the recession, because of the hunger in the land, suffering and hardship, they were now selling the head of an ass, a donkey, for 80, fourscore is 80, 80 pieces of silver, very expensive, something that had no value before, suddenly, inflation, and the fourth part of a cap of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. My God. Donko, you know donk? Excreta. Next verse. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman. Look at the situation in the land, in the nation. It cried a woman, say, help my lord, O king, help. 27. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? And guess what? One of the major ways that God helps you is by anointing and sending you a prophet. Here. To bail you out of famine. Bail you out of that sickness. Bail you out of that delay and stagnation and retrogression and nothing is working. You see, you must understand what I call prophetic bailout systems. Prophets are systems, major spiritual systems of advantage. When you learn to ride on the wings of prophecy. I started sensing in my spirit that this year is an unusual year. We're about to enter something. I had to go and meet my pastor, my prophet, Reverend Dunkagomwok. He was here on Sunday. And of course, you know the meeting was something else. I told him, and he came. And guess what? He came and ushered us into that new dimension. Tell your neighbor, congratulations. We have entered. If you think that AGMI before that service and AGMI after that service is the same, you are wrong. You are seeing with the eyes of mortal men. See with the eyes of the spirit. We have shifted. The king said, how will I help you? He said, so look up. There are some economic situation. There are some situation in your life. Now, even secular leaders, governors, presidents cannot help you. It will take a prophetic bailout for you to come out of it. The king was helpless. Look at it. He said, how will I help you? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. And these places were empty. Next verse. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today. Have things gone bad in Nigeria to this point? We will never get to this level. They were eating each other's son, using their children for adashi. We eat your own tomorrow. Contribute, eat. They became cannibals in a quest to survive. That's to tell you how terrible the situation was. He says, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Next verse. But the woman played smart. There was breach of contract. So we boiled my son. Ah! Ah! Where has motherly compassion gone? The same child she carried in her womb for 9 months went through labor pain to deliver. She said, "We boiled my son." Ah, just to tell you, the survivor instinct in human being is the greatest. The height of selfishness. "And I said unto her on the next day," so it's her own turn now, "give thy son that we may eat him." And she had hid her son. Breach of contract. "And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his cloth." In other words, I have failed. What's the essence of me as king? This is colossal governmental failure. With what is happening in Nigeria, in country where they understand leadership, the president will have resigned longest time. All the killings, Boko Haram, prices, you know, he will say, "This is failed system. That means I am not a good leader. I can't govern. Let me resign honorably. Let a good leader come and take over." But it cannot happen for Africa. For where? They die for power. "It came to pass when the king heard the words of this woman, she rent her clothes and passed by upon the wall, and the people look and behold, they had sackcloth upon his head." In other words, the king started mourning. Ah. Is that the last verse? Next. Okay. "Then he said, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha," the son of Shaphat, the prophet, "shall stand on him this day." Now, why did the king blame the situation, the economic situation of the country, on the head of the prophet? Why? Because he understood that the prophet is responsible for the prosperity of the land. Am I communicating? Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. Their ministry is for your profit. Because it had told the prophet's mouth has been shut. May the mouth of a prophet not be shut over your life. Hi. Next verse. "But Elisha sat in his house with the elder, and the elder sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. And then the messenger came, he said to the elder, see how this son of a man," so he had a word of knowledge, "the son of a murderer had sent to take away my head." So the king is saying that, let's just kukun kill him. Since he has refused to say anything to change the situation, then of what use is he? He sent people to go and behead the prophet. But the prophet, he won't joke. Odogu. As he sat with the elders, he already knew the plan. He's even telling the elders, see how the son of the murderer, he's talking of the king, he has sent people to come and kill me. This is a man of God. See, he said, "Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" In other words, the king is following them behind. And then look at verse 2. And then, gang, the prophet decides to open his mouth. Hey, when a prophet opens his mouth, things change. The word of a prophet can turn around the economy of a nation. How much more your own personal economy? Hiya, Selah. "And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, behold, this is evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Why are you going back and forth? Give me verse 2. Verse 2, please. Okay, verse 1. "Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Can you shout amen? So a prophetic word was released. No, look up. Elisha was not revealing here. He was creating. He's not revealing what will happen. He's creating what should happen. The prophetic word does not just reveal. It creates. It is a creative force. Am I communicating? prophetic words are prepackaged with divine potency, not just to reveal the future but to create it. This is a creative realm of the prophetic. He said by this time tomorrow, 24 hours. And then verse 2, there was a doubting Thomas there. The Lord, on whose hand the king leans, said, even if God will open the windows of heaven. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Does he know what happened? Did he know what happened the last time God opened the windows of heaven? That was when the flood of Noah came up. Am I communicating? Rained upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. He said, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might these things be? And Elisha replied, he said, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Never doubt prophetic words. Look up. When prophetic words are spoken over your life, they are not for mental analysis. They are not for reasoning. They are for you to partner in faith. Your spirit has the capacity to believe anything. With the heart, man believeth. Prophetic words are not primarily for your mind to analyze. They are for your spirit, your heart, to believe. Don't be thinking about how. Remove that clutch of mental reasoning. Believe it first with your heart. Am I communicating? Jump into the river. Ayagabarakata. With your spirit man. You know, it's with your spirit. Your spirit man is the first man to jump. Jump into it with your spirit. Let your mind and your body follow later. Let your soul and your body follow later. But the mistake many people make is that they try to jump into the river of the prophetic word with their mind first instead of their spirit first. Look at verse 18. Is it 18? Give me 18. Look at the fulfillment of that prophecy. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. So this was when the prophetic word found fulfillment within 24 hours. But look at the next verse. The doubting Thomas, the minister of economy, agriculture, he was judged. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Next verse. So it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. When abundance came, people were rushing. The king appointed that same Lord. He said, be in charge of the gate. And out of excitement, imagine people who never see food chop. They now hear say there is food. You can't contain that crowd. So there was a stampede. Why? Because he doubted the prophetic word. Doubters go without. Am I communicating? Don't cheat yourself out of your prophetic destiny. Mali goboko sefelete. Elo gabaya. Ambra kataya. Rise to your feet. Kito bakasaya. Ile kete kete kete. I'm here to give you prophetic helping hands for you to reap your harvest to the full. Every single thing God has spoken, every single package and portion he has earmarked for you. My job is to ensure that you take full delivery. Am I communicating? Malego Bogo Sabalagadia. I want you to lift up your voice. The first prayer you will pray, just a few minutes we'll pray. You are going to say, Father, I receive grace for intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Grace to fellowship with God. Grace to prioritize God above all, everything else. Grace for prayer. Grace for by the ministry of a prophet. Their words can carry you. Give me Exodus 19, verse 4.
They can carry you like bird to your destiny. Carry you like bird to the next and higher dimension. He said, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptian, how I bear you on eagle's wing and brought you unto myself. The question is, who was that eagle? It was Moses. Maligo Bagadia. You can learn to ride on prophetic wings. You can learn to mount up on the wings of prophecy. Am I communicating? Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Give me Ezekiel 37. Is it verse 9? I prophesied as I was commanded, and there came together. What came together? Very many and very dry bones that were scattered all over the valley. See, your life, no matter how scattered, battered, shattered it is, the prophetic word is prepackaged with so much power that it can bring your scattered life together. It can arrange your life. Am I communicating? Arrange your destiny. It can repair your life. It can re- prophetic word can repair your body. They can perform surgery on your body. Am I communicating? Listen to this. The anointed sent to you is a major system of spiritual advantage in life and destiny. Prophetic words are spiritual currencies by which we do spiritual purchase and transactions. They are, prophetic words are spiritual weapons. They are like missiles that give us the advantage in battles and in spiritual warfare. We use them to fight. You remember 1 Timothy 1:18? He said, according to these words of prophecy which have been spoken over you, which went before you, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Prophetic words are divine transporters. They are prepackaged with divine potency and power. They contain inherent spiritual power to carry you, to promote you, to transport you supernaturally to the next and higher level in life and destiny. Prophetic words are destiny-defining forces. They are destination-defining forces. Prophetic words are divine accelerators. Prophetic words are like guided missiles. They always hit their target. They hit the bull's eye. Ayagabata. God has anointed and sent to us prophets for our profiting and for our prosperity. They come with prophetic packages and portion with your name tag on it. God has earmarked you for a swift supernatural shift in today's encounter. You must be discerning enough. How do you receive them? Receive them with the attitude of honor. Honor them from your heart. Receive them with the attitude of faith. Believe their words. Obey their instructions. Receive them with the attitude of love. Love the person. Not just their ministry. Love their person. Not just the anointing on them. You can't love the anointing they carry without loving them. The anointing will not work for you. Am I communicating? You receive them with joy. Palakataya. Likrondoboko sekedia. I want you to lift up your voice. Right now. Right now. Right now. Shagabadaya. You are going to say, Father, every hanging package, every hanging portion that you design in these 14 days of prophetic feast, whatever has not dropped yet from day 1 to day 13, Father, I take delivery of them. By my faith, I take delivery of them. Let them drop in this service. Lift up your voice. If there is you know you need Jesus in your life, all eyes closed. You know you need Jesus in your life. You know you are not serious with God. You need a relationship with Him. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand. You want to surrender to Jesus. Ushers, please help me. Lift up your right hand.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas at Longking or to partner with us, please visit www.hmionline.com. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.